Hello there, I'm Rich Coles. You may also know me as Sven Gulli, and you're listening to the big, scary news. Isn't most news these days scary?
Hello, boys and girls. This is the Big Scary News with your host, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, we have an interview you won't find anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly brought to you by our title sponsor, Froggy's Fog, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents. Visit them at froggiesfog.com. And now, boys and girls, don't be scared, because it's time for the Big Scary News.
What do you say we see what's shaking in the outer limits? Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
Hello, everyone. This is Big Scary News, episode 184. My name is Drew Badger, and as we've done too many times this year, we're starting off with some sad news from one of our own. This comes to us via Travis Bowling. The American Horrorplex in Louisville, Kentucky is sad to report the passing of actor Drake Deering on July 24th at the all-too-young age of 26. The cause of death is unknown at this time. Drake was cool, calm, yet scaring, being the longtime dedicated scare actor to the industry and haunt family. He'd worked for 7th Street Haunt starting in 2015, and when they closed, he went to Waverly Hills Haunted Attraction, and then when the American Horrorplex started, he spent the last season with us. He was a free spirit, kind soul, and went with the flow. He was always there to help a friend or a stranger, and will always be one of us. The Big Scary News sends its deepest condolences to the friends and family of Drake Deering and offers up this moment of silence. On a little bit lighter news, we have this update from Netherworld Haunted Attraction in Stone Mountain, Georgia. We're excited to announce the theme to our 2020 main attraction, Halloween Nightmares. Over 100 years ago, the survivors of a brutal family feud sought vengeance against their rival mountain clan. Using evil powers stolen from undying monsters beneath the earth, they were transformed into savage, bat-like things. On Halloween night, they slaughtered their enemies before creeping deep into hidden caverns in order to evade the light of the sun. They will resurface this coming October 31st, disguised as costume revelers bent on bringing destruction to the cursed town of Wishburg. Only a trio of mysterious trick-or-treaters imbued with the power of Halloween can stop this carnage from happening again. Get more details on this at their website, fearworld.com. We have this news from the Decomposed Haunted House in Houma, Louisiana. Decomposed Haunted House will forego the 2020 season due to the unpredictability of COVID-19 and the fears of another shutdown should another strain of this virus appear in the fall. Unfortunately, as a first-year haunt, we aren't prepared to utilize virtual queue systems or other social distancing suggestions, as we do not have the human resources or time to embrace a new society. We are simply heartbroken, and this decision was and is a gut-wrenching process. In the end, we have decided that out of an abundance of caution for the health of our actors, guests, and staff, Decomposed Haunted House will not open this fall as previously announced. We came to this conclusion after much careful deliberation, and we feel strongly that the most prudent course right now is to allow more time for this situation to stabilize. That said, work will continue as usual at Decomposed in preparation for next year, and we promise that the shadows in the background of the morgue will be patiently waiting for you in 2021. Together, although separately, we'll get through this. Sincerely, Decomposed Haunted House. Get more information and keep up with any updates they may have at their Facebook page, facebook.com/Decomposed Haunted House. We have this news from the Booger Woods Haunted Attraction in Rockwell, North Carolina. Booger Woods Haunted Attraction does plan to open this season, as we're an outside event spread out over 6 acres. We've been working diligently behind the scenes to put together a COVID social distancing plan to enable us to open safely. In the coming weeks, this plan will be announced on our website. This season will be a little different for everyone, as all tickets will have a certain time to go in. So if you have a 9 p.m. time, you can be here 15 minutes early, and there's no wait in line. But by following our plan, we will be able to be as safe as we social distance in the Booger Woods. Keep up with all our updates at their Facebook page, facebook.com/Booger Woods Haunt. We have this from Castle Park Amusement Park in Riverside, California. Castle Park in Riverside will once again be hosting our Halloween event called Castle Dark. We are looking to hire scare actors. Auditions will take place on August 22nd and 23rd, the 29th and 30th, from 11 until 4 p.m. Castle Park is located at 3500 Polk Street in Riverside. Auditions will be first come, first seen. You must be over 18 to apply, and feel free to contact them directly if you have any questions. 951-288-1902. Sincerely, Matt Gagner, I hope I pronounced that right, the Castle Dark designer and director. You can get more information at castlepark.com. We have this news from the Screams Haunted Attraction in Waxahachie, Texas. Due to the continuing COVID-19 health crisis and ongoing outbreaks, Screams Halloween Theme Park has made the difficult decision to cancel the Screams 2020 season for the first time in its 25-year history. The owners and management of Screams considered many options and scenarios to safely conduct the Screams 2020 season. They made the determination that canceling Screams is the most responsible course of action to ensure the health and safety of staff, employees, participants, patrons, and community. We're extremely disappointed in the cancellation of the 2020 season, but plan to be back in the fall of 2021 bigger and better than ever to celebrate our 25th season. Keep up with their updates at screamspark.com. We have this news from the Addams Family Haunted Trail in Marysville, Ohio. Okay, fellow haunters, here's the first casting call for the 2020 season. We're a volunteer-based haunt, but we do provide food and drinks for all the actors. If you're planning on acting with us this year, please let us know as soon as possible. We are planning to build scenes and need to know how many actors we'll have. If you wish to play a special character, please let us know that as well so we can set up a scene just for you. Our tentative schedule right now is Saturday, October 17th, the 24th, and Friday, October the 30th, and Saturday the 31st. We will be open from 7:30 to 12:30 on each of these nights. Oh, how much fun we will have this haunt season. Are you ready to scare the crap out of some people? I know we are. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/Addams Family Haunted Woods. We have this news from the Creepy Hollow Haunted Woods in Spring Hill, Tennessee. At Creepy Hollow Woods in Spring Hill, we've been working hard all year adding new scenes and more trails to our haunted attraction. With the current times this 2020 season, we want all of our customers and actors to feel safe while enjoying our haunt. We will be following local community guidelines, practicing social distancing with ticket purchasing. We recommend sending one person up from your group to purchase tickets and in our queue line. We also had to become even more creative on how to scare the yell out of you while still maintaining social distancing, and we have succeeded. You're in for some unexpected surprises. We will not be combining groups together. That means whoever came in your group will be going through with just your group. Regulators will be ensuring that groups don't run together as they go through the attraction. If you are hesitant about attending an event where groups gather, we hope this helps to set your mind at ease. We are looking forward to seeing you this season. Get more information at facebook.com/Creepy Hollow Haunted Woods. We have a little hiring news from Stillwell Manor in Anderson, Indiana. We are one of the premier haunted attractions in the Midwest. In 2019, we were named as a top haunt by the Haunted House Association that recognizes the top haunts across the country, and we were voted by the fans as the number 4 must-see attraction in the state of Indiana. And now, we are hiring for the 2020 season. Have you ever wanted to scare people and get paid? No experience necessary. Apply today at stillwellmanor.com/recruit. We have this news from the Haunted Road in Orlando, Florida. Will you dare to travel the Haunted Road? Coming to Orlando this fall, the Haunted Road is Central Florida's first drive-through, completely contactless Halloween experience. Don't be scared to head over to our website to sign up for exciting info and updates. That website is www.thehauntedroad.com. We have this news from Milburn's Haunted Manor in Hubbard, Oregon. Milburn's Haunted Manor has canceled their upcoming October season due to social distancing restrictions and the COVID-19 pandemic. We will miss you this Halloween season, but we will be back in 2021. Keep up with any and all updates at their Facebook page, facebook.com/Milburn's Haunted Manor. We have this news from Haunters Against Hate. This comes via Paul Lanner. The first page in Volume 5 of the Book of Haunters is laid out. I wasn't going to start submissions yet, but already got some in. This volume is going to feature each actor's coming out story, which will make it, along with Volume 4, a very emotional addition. Presenting the first one. Remember, if you are an LGBTQ haunter and want to be in Volume 5 of the Book of Haunters, even if you were in the other volumes, make sure to send high-resolution pics to paul@hauntersagainsthate.com. Get more information at facebook.com/hauntersagainsthate, and good luck. And finally, we have this delicious news from Nestle and the film Hocus Pocus. This comes via BloodyDisgusting.com. Kenny Ortega's 1993 Halloween classic Hocus Pocus seems to get more and more popular with each passing Halloween season. And this year, we're even getting official cookie dough. Being released by Nestle Toll House this fall, which is right around the corner, the Hocus Pocus themed dough is oatmeal peanut butter flavored, and each pack makes 20 cookies. Chocolate morsels and candy-coated gems are packed into the dough. Thanks to Candy Hunting over on Instagram for the heads up. According to that page, this fun little Halloween treat has already begun to hit grocery shelves, so keep a watch out. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
And ladies and gentlemen, it is August. Oh my gosh, it is finally starting to see the light at the end of this long, hot summer. And by the time you hear this, there will be haunted attractions that will be open in less than 30 days. Let that sink into your head for a moment. Now that we've let that sink into your head, I want to welcome back a guest that we haven't had on our show in about 8 years. We talked to this person on our very first Halloween show 8.5 years ago. Author Leslie Bannatyne. She was the author of Halloween Nation, Behind the Scenes of America's Fright Night. It is a fascinating book, and we just found out from her that it has gone into a second edition, which will be out on August 10th, so we had to find out what's going on, if there are any updates or anything like that with Halloween Nation. So we've got Leslie Bannatyne on the line from Boston. Leslie, how are you?
I'm doing great, and it's a crime that I haven't been here for 8 years.
It has been. You know, I think I met you at one of the conventions like a dozen years ago, and we chatted then, and then that was the basis on having you on the show to talk about your book back then, because your book has now been out about 10 years. Congratulations. Yes. And through various printings and such, but now you've got a second edition out. So for people who may not be familiar with Halloween Nation, or they may have Halloween Nation and they're wondering whether or not the second edition is something they need to purchase, tell us a little bit about how you got started in writing Halloween Nation, Behind the Scenes of America's Fright Night, which I own a copy. It is a fantastic book, by the way.
Well, thank you. I started because I had been writing about Halloween for about 20 years before then, about its history and folk culture and things like that. And I kept bumping into all these wonderful people who were making Halloween, you know, people that made the haunted attractions, that made the props, that made the pumpkin beer, that made the decorations and parties and parades. And so I thought, well, this is actually driving Halloween in America. So let's kind of do a deep dive into who these people are and why they do what they do and why people love Halloween so much. So I spent about 2 years going to various events and businesses and talking to people and interviewing folks who all loved Halloween in one weird way or another. And that's what went into making Halloween Nation. That was that book came out in 2011. And for this edition, I've rewritten the introduction, and there's a new cover on it that's a little spookier.
Nice. So basically, it's a book about the Halloween industry, it sounds like.
It's about the people in the industry and why they do what they do, and it's also kind of a journalistic approach to it. So, for example, if I'm writing a big chapter on ghosts, I went out to ghost hunts with ghost hunters, and I when I did the chapter on witches, I went to witches' ceremonies and witches' parties and talked to witches. So it's just both my experiences doing these things and talking to the people that are making these things and getting at wonderful details of what they do. For example, going out to Gorgolore in southern Indiana. Have you ever been there?
I know Kevin very well, but I have never been to his shop.
He calls it a chicken coop, and I think it was once a chicken coop, but it is a very long, low barn. A huge, when you say chicken coop, you think something small. This is not small, and it's station after station of latex ears and zombie feet and intestines and things like that, all the way back through this chicken coop. So, I mean, going there and actually seeing the thing makes a huge difference to me in terms of writing it up, like what it is to be somebody who produces the props for the Halloween industry and getting to talk to him for a longer time than I might have on the phone. So it's that sort of look at all these folks.
No, Kevin doesn't do anything small, that's for sure. So I have no doubt he's got something huge out there. And I'm pretty sure because of the COVID out there and all, we had him on the show a couple of months ago after Transworld had been canceled. And he was talking about, you know, expanding his shop, for lack of a word, because he could take some time off and do that. And I've seen pictures on his social media of him gardening and doing some other stuff. So I'm assuming he's living the life right now, and I'm sure he's still making a bunch of props and everything. So that's fascinating. But as far as, you know, a second edition, you told me before we got started here, this is basically the very same book except for a different introduction. What were some of the things that you changed from the first edition?
Well, it's just looking over the last 10 years since it was published and trying to figure out or think about what's really changed about Halloween. And, you know, the big thing that stands out is it's both bigger than it was in 2011, business-wise. For example, in 2019, we spent $9 billion on Halloween and $490 million on pets, which is double what we did 10 years ago. So it's growing financially. But even pumpkins, I was looking back, and in 2011, the biggest pumpkin was about 1,800 pounds. And last year, it was 2,600. So over a ton, the weight, I say, of a Ford Fiesta. So everything's gotten bigger. The hype around it, the business around it, and the actual things that make Halloween Halloween, like pumpkins, have gotten bigger. And it's also been exported to different countries, which was happening before 2011, but now we export Halloween products to places like Catalonia, Spain, or Sweden, or Japan, or Australia. And people in those countries, who are people who often are attracted to American youth culture, have adopted Halloween. So you can find really big Halloween celebrations, for example, in Japan now, among young people. So it's kind of been exported, it's grown in this country, and then because or concurrent with the growth here, there's also been more attempts to try to control it. And you saw that last year with the organization trying to put Halloween on the last Saturday of October.
I remember.
You know, it was a business proposal to put it on, and that got a lot of pushback. It's just people thought Halloween was Halloween. It's the October 31st, and that's when it is. It's not the last Saturday of October. But you see that kind of effort to manage it, you know, towns that declare that you have to trick-or-treat between 6 and 8 on Halloween night and you have to be home by then, or you can only trick-or-treat in these specific places. So that's also grown as Halloween gets bigger, so have the attempts to kind of control it.
So has the bureaucracy, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's silly, you know. You wouldn't ask Christmas to be the last Friday of the month, you know. So
no, plus Halloween has this, like, you know, 2,000-year-old plus history of being on the evening of November 1st. You know, it's a time in the year. It's a certain cast of light. It's a certain amount of darkness and temperature change. And it's related to the earth and to the seasons and to the sun. And so moving it is just wrong.
Totally agree with you. During the month of October, are you traveling to like Salem or New Orleans or any of the cities that really, really embrace Halloween? Are you going to haunted attractions up in the Northeast or around the country? Not necessarily for a new book, but just because it's Halloween season.
Yes. This year, who knows what will happen? It's kind of like, I feel like for the past 6 months, it's been wait 2 weeks and we'll tell you what's going to happen next. But this year, I hope some attractions are open and I would love to go. The thing that's most frustrating about anybody who looks at Halloween, and I'm sure this is true for people who are in the industry, is that most things happen in a very short period of time, and you just can't get everywhere. So on Halloween night, you know, you can't be in 10 places at once, so you have to pick. I love the fact that haunted attractions run the whole month of October, because that gives me a chance to get out to them, and I love to do that. I I try to go to Haunted Overload every year because it's kind of in my neck of the woods and I can do that. But in years where I could travel, I would pick a city like New Orleans and go down and see what's happening, or even Provincetown out in Massachusetts, because they have an outrageous Halloween scene as well.
Very, very nice. You know, I travel a lot to, report on the stuff, as do the other hosts of the show. So, you know, it's like you said, you can't be everywhere at once. And, you know, the earliest haunt I have heard opening in 2020 is supposed to open September 4th, which is insane. You know, even three or four years ago, you wouldn't expect anybody to open, except for the earliest would be like the last weekend of September. But I have a feeling within 3 to 5 years, opening up Labor Day weekend is probably going to be quite common around the country, the way that it's been growing. COVID notwithstanding here. But
yeah, but that's fantastic and fascinating, and why not? You know, spread it over a longer amount of time, fewer people, it's COVID friendly.
There was a haunt, I believe, in southern Indiana or southern Ohio that opened the last week of August last year, and they were busy the entire season. I mean, they didn't have that early season really slack. It was, you know, from what I heard, busy from day one. And, you know, there have been a couple of haunts that have opened up for their halfway to Halloween's or Friday the 13th, and they have been packed. We had the guests from Salt Lake City's Fear Factory on a few shows ago. They did a halfway to Halloween show in May, and they literally had to turn people away because they had only done online ticket sales. They had a lot of people trying to walk up and buy tickets, and unfortunately they couldn't do that because of, you know, this stuff going on out there. So there's a demand out there, and I think that, you know, once we get a vaccine or once this dies down, the industry is just going to keep growing exponentially. It's going to be fascinating.
I think so, and it's expanding. The breadth of it is getting larger, as far as I can tell, you know, where it's not just a haunted attraction, but it's a haunted cornfield, or a hayride, or a pumpkin patch. So the whole farmers are able to do more with Halloween than ever before, which is awesome because it also brings families into celebrating Halloween early in the season.
Absolutely. And it's just that whole Halloween tradition thing. Everybody likes going and picking out a pumpkin from the pumpkin patch and getting on a hayride and drinking some hot cider or hot chocolate in the fall, and that smell of the cornfield and the pumpkins lying out there, and the sun is shining and everything. It's just a great family thing, and I'm, you know, look forward to hopefully being able to do that this year too. So
I hope so. I mean, you know, Halloween is kind of friendly that way. I mean, who knows how we will celebrate it this year? You can't say. But it's outdoors mostly. We're masked. And there's no singing. So I figure we have half a shot to make Halloween happen as close as it has happened in the past.
I like the no singing part. In your travels, and, you know, when you were doing the research for the book, and when you travel in Halloween, do you have favorite haunted attractions that you just pencil in every year saying, I'm going to visit this one?
Well, yes. I mean, because I'm in New England, I do my old favorites, which is Haunted Overload, and then the New England Spooky World conglomerate there in southern New Hampshire. But I try to do something different every year, and I try to go to places I've never seen before. So last year, for example, I was down in Rhode Island at a haunt that was, I think, a community haunt. I'm not going to be able to remember the name of it right now, but I waited for 3 hours in a line and went through basically a very interesting long trail with no scare actors in it. So a different approach. It was moody. I was up at Canopy Lake's Halloween scare event, which I thought was actually very good. And there were about four haunted houses in that in that park there that were interesting in different ways. So I do try to get out as far as I can, as fast as I can during October. So, you know, how far can I get? You know, Maryland, Pennsylvania, maybe.
Excellent. As far as the books, you've been writing about them for many, many years. Are there plans to put out another Halloween book?
Not yet. No. No. I am content right now to simply enjoy Halloween. Now that I know a lot about it and have a lot of friends in the Halloween world and the Halloween industry, it is a pure joy to simply celebrate it.
Nice. So, once again, folks, the book is called Halloween Nation, Behind the Scenes of America's Fright Night. Its second edition will be out on August 10th. It will have a brand new cover and a brand new introduction, but basically, if you've owned the old book, it's pretty much the same book as what you're saying, too.
It is the same book. It is the same. If you own Halloween Nation, this has a few new pieces in it. If you don't, this is brand new.
Absolutely. And for people who love nothing better than to start a fire, curl up under a blanket on a beautiful fall evening, maybe have a cup of hot tea or hot cocoa and read a good book about Halloween, where can people get a copy of Halloween Nation, Behind the Scenes of America's Fright Night?
Well, you know, you can get it at the big online bookstores. Simply Google it and it will come up. Or if you want to look at any of my other books, Halloween Nation is the most recent, but there are several others, including histories and even a children's book. That is on iSkullHalloween.com.
iSkullHalloween.com. I do have the bumper sticker still on my truck. I've kept it there for many, many years. And occasionally I get somebody giving me a weird look, and I can only think that's what it is. But Leslie Bannatyne is the author of Halloween Nation, Behind the Scenes of America's Fright Night. The second edition comes out August 10th. You can find them on all the online bookstores or go to iSkullHalloween.com. Leslie, it has been an absolute delight and a pleasure to talk to you again. I know it will not be 8 more years before we get you back on the show, but do keep us apprised as to if you are going to be writing a new book, and we will have to get you back on the show again at some point in the future.
Thank you for having me, Drew. I love it here.
And we love your work. So everybody out there, if you're looking for an early Christmas gift or if you just want something really nice to relax and read on your outdoor porch while the leaves are falling, check out this book. Once again, folks, my name is Drew Badger, and this is The Big Scary News.
We'd like to thank the Ghastly Ones for laying down the tunes for this show. Also, we'd like to thank once again Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, froggiesfog.com. Make sure to check out the Big Scary Show next week for even more news, music, rants, phobias, interviews, the Round Table of Terror, and so much more at our redesigned website, bigscaryshow.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and stay on top of everything happening in the world of haunts, horror, and Halloween. Once again, this is Drew Badger saying good night.